Hello there, my name is Thomas Harper.
And my name is Connor McCluskey.
And what are the lovely people tuning into?
Radio Energy News.
This is Radio Energy News.
On today's programme,
the Scottish Government are set to announce their decision on a new bill that could change how criminals are sentenced by judges.
Private insurance is a hot topic right now, as some organisations in the sector are introducing cheaper deals to capitalise on long NHS waiting lists. But now, our top story.
Last night, Rishi Sunak announced the passing of the Rwanda Bill, which is aimed to stop illegal migration attempts and lower the risks of those seeking asylum in the UK. If the bill is successful, the people involved could be granted refugee status and allowed to stay in Rwanda. If not, they could apply to settle in Rwanda on other grounds or seek asylum in a different safe third country. The bill has been met with strong reactions. The UN opposes it, while Rwanda's government is in full support. Now, Olga Shapitsna reports on the effects and ideas behind the passing of the bill.
The Rwanda bill that states that any asylum seeker entering the UK illegally after 1st of January 2022 could be sent to Rwanda to have their claims processed there under a five-year agreement has officially passed in the Parliament late in the evening yesterday on 22nd of April. However, effects, reactions and the backlash of the matter are unravelling in real time. The hopes are for the bill to grant the people involved refugee status and a possibility to stay in Rwanda. If the latter is not a working option, they could apply to settle in Rwanda on other grounds or seek asylum in a different, safe third country. No asylum seeker would be able to apply to return to the UK. Ministers have argued the plan would deter people from arriving in the UK on small boats across the English Channel. In his interview with Sky News, Michael Thomlinson, Minister of State for Countering Illegal Migration, states,
"The reason I want it to work is because I want to stop the boats crossing the channel. I want to stop the evil criminal gangs. I want to stop the drownings, the fatalities that we've seen in the channel every single month. 9 fatalities this year, 1 a young girl as young as 7. We must stop the boats. And I'm determined to do everything to ensure that we get the flights off the ground and do just that. I've explained this before. We want flights to get off the ground as soon as possible. But there are certain steps that need to happen between now and then. And that's why the 10 to 12 weeks timetable has been so clearly set out by the Prime Minister."
Fran Heathcoat is the General Secretary of the PCS Union, which represents civil servants, including Border Force Guards, said the following in an interview with Sky's Jane Seeker.
"It's something that our members feel incredibly strongly about. They want to come to work, to do a good job and to help people."
She describes it as an incredible, challenging work and how she and the border staff believe that passing the bill is not in the asylum seekers' best interest.
"It's heartbreak, isn't it? Because people don't do this stuff lightly. You don't wake up and put your family and your children at risk. There's no easy or humane way of crossing the channel to come to the UK. So people resort to some pretty desperate measures. And we just think there's a much better way of doing things that this government is refusing to explore. You can't expect our members to knowingly put people's lives at risk. And unfortunately, the policy and the way it's been implemented does just that."
Michael O'Flaherty, the Council of Europe's Commissioner for Human Rights, says the passing of the bill is a threat to the global legal system protecting refugees. He states, "The Rwanda's bill's adoption is another representation of an ongoing trend towards externalization of asylum and migration policy in Europe, which is a matter of concern for the global system of protection of the rights of refugees." Filippo Grandi, the UN's High Commissioner for Refugees, raised similar concerns. In a statement, he said, "The new legislation marks a further step away from the UK's long tradition of providing refuge to those in need, in breach of the Refugee Convention. Despite the fact the bill was approved last night, chaos broke out this morning. Migrants crammed into small boats setting sail from the coast of France. Around 5 a.m. this morning, a boat carrying 112 people got motor trouble, which resulted in 5 people, including a 70-year-old girl, dying in cold water. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak says the tragic incident in the Channel today underscores the need for the Rwanda plan." Sunak, who spoke to reporters on his way to Warsaw to meet NATO leaders to discuss Ukraine aid, says this is a reminder of why our plan is so important, asserting that the UK government wants to prevent people making these very dangerous crossings.
A newly proposed victims bill has been put forward in the Scottish Parliament this afternoon, as controversial alterations to the formation and involvement of juries, as well as possible removal of Scotland's unique not proven verdict, as MSPs have spent this afternoon debating the bill. Results are due to come through at 5pm tonight. John Conaghan.
Scottish Parliament is currently in session as they discuss the implementation of new Victims, Witness and Justice Reform Bill. The Cabinet Secretary for Justice of Scotland, Angela Constance, described the creation of the new policy as landmark and historic. If Scottish Parliament chooses to pass the bill during the deliberations, which will begin shortly, this could lead to the number of jurors in Scottish court cases being lowered to 12 instead of 15, and may also result in rape cases taking place without the presence of a jury. The bill is said to improve the Scots law system, however, it's creating a lot of controversy due to the proposition that reads, "The jury may return a verdict of guilty only if the majority of jurors are in the favour of that verdict." This would mean that a verdict of not proven would be removed from Scottish courts. A survey of the public as well as legal experts in 2022 showed that 62% of 194 people were in favour of scrapping the not proven verdict. Despite this showing evidence of support for the proposed policy, back in March, the Scottish Solicitors Bar Association said 97% of defence lawyers would boycott a pilot of trial without jury. Earlier today, we spoke with law student Lena Abbas to find out her perspective on today's proceedings.
This bill sets out some of the biggest changes to the criminal justice system that Scotland will have ever seen. And as a law student, I've kind of always struggled to grasp the idea that in a jury that sits 15 people, only a majority of 8 is required for the verdict to go one way or another. I think the law is an extremely powerful thing and can change someone's life truly overnight. And I also think that the 8-7 majority can be a very fine line. So I think the bill is a positive thing, in which part 4 of the proposal puts forward for a jury of 12, which requires a 2/3 majority for a guilty or non-guilty verdict. I do think that a juryless trial would make cases extremely difficult, as the jury can do things like boost public confidence but also give an outsider view on the issue rather than someone emotionally or physically involved in the case, although I understand why this can be extremely controversial.
Charity Rape Crisis Scotland have stated that they support a newly formed sexual offences court controlled solely by a judge. However, the Scottish Parliament's Criminal Justice Committee have openly stated that there isn't compelling evidence to support this concept. A complete plan for the bill's implementation is not yet known, as deliberation begins from 5 o'clock this evening. It's likely that Holyrood will establish how the Scottish Government plan to move forward in enacting these policies if it is decided to move forward with the Justice Secretary's proposition. Further information will be provided in the coming hours after today's proceedings have concluded.
Certain health companies are offering £23 per month of private health insurance in an attempt to combat the long NHS waiting times. Edinburgh residents have already taken advantage of this. Data shown from the last 2 years suggests that patients is likely to be wearing thin. Joseph Meek heads to the streets of Edinburgh to tell us more.
Waiting over a month to be seen by a doctor and receive treatment has become the new norm. Yet the waiting times seem to keep going up despite the constant stream of complaints. In 2022, the Royal College of Emergency Medicine, abbreviated to RCEM, analysed an excess of 1.5 million patients who had to wait 12 hours or more in A&E, and found that an average of 268 people were dying every week from not being seen fast enough. According to NHS Inform, which states the waiting times and how many people were admitted for treatment between October 1st, 2023 to December 31st of the same year. The data shows that oral surgery carries the longest waiting time, with a median of 64 weeks. However, it had the smallest number of patients needing treatment at only 30 people. Those waiting to be seen by a haematologist had the shortest waiting time of just 1 week, with 206 patients who needed aid. Medical insurance company Health Window is offering full cover from £23 a month, which could prevent those who need urgent care from waiting the gruelling times. I visited the Edinburgh University grounds to find out what the public thought. 28-year-old Gray moved from the US to Edinburgh 8 years ago and has used private healthcare once before for dental issues. This is what he had to say.
I think that obviously, well, two things. I think that private healthcare obviously, if you expand, if private healthcare is added on top of what already exists, then obviously there's going to be more facilities that people can go to. But there's a bunch of knock-on effects, one of which is that it's obviously going to be inaccessible for people who can't pay for it. And so you're going to get basically the people, this is what happens in the US, the people who have the money get to go and have good healthcare, and the people who don't are kind of screwed. So I think that is, I would rather see that money invested in expanding the NHS to have better facilities, which is also way more efficient because tax money being spent on that is going to be much better if it's pooled together than actually forcing individuals to pay for it, you know, by making it profitable. Well, it depends. It depends, I guess, what they're offering and how else they're... Basically, is it £23 and they cover anything, regardless of...
It's from £23.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, so I think... I mean, I think it sounds reasonable, but I also would be very suspicious. Again, I'm coming from a place where I've seen where private healthcare happens, and I mean, America is a disaster because of private healthcare. Basically, is one of the biggest reasons that I actually prefer to live here than America, is that you have access to healthcare, regardless of your financial situation. So I'm not for it really. I think there's a place for having other options for people who are willing to pay more, but there's a risk that it can really easily dilute and divert funds away from the existing like public health.
When you had...
It wasn't that long. Maybe it was like a month or something like that.
That was with private healthcare.
That was with private, and I'm trying to... It was a few years ago now. I'm trying to remember if they sort of made me wait. I think it wasn't a particularly long waiting time, I don't think.
Yeah.
Stefan, a 22-year-old nursing student, gives his opinion on the matter.
They are too long, yeah, but I don't think the way to go about it is through introducing private healthcare. I think it's a slippery slope, and we're seeing this now with the Labour government, and it's worrying, because I think once you start introducing it, the way that the NHS has been chronically underfunded, after some time it's just going to get exponentially more extreme with the privatisation, and that will, in the end, be worse. I'm certain that it will, in the short term, reduce waiting times. But really, what needs to happen is that the government needs to put more funding into the NHS, not into private healthcare.
The number of people who admitted into a private hospital increased by 7% between January 2023 and September 2023, with a new high of 664,000 people. Analysis by the Private Healthcare Information Network, or PHIN, found that more people are opting for insured private healthcare rather than self-pay. Around 88,000 more people chose to go for insurance in the fourth quarter of 2023. Their study also shows that if the rise in private healthcare admissions continue, the number of those admitted by the end of 2024 could reach over 900,000 people, 236,000 more than last year.
And now a roundup of today's top stories. Following the statement by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak on the passing of the Rwanda bill, immigrants could be granted refugee status or seek asylum elsewhere, with the UN opposing the bill while Rwanda's government are in full support.
In a battle to shorten NHS waiting times, health companies are now offering health insurance for £23 a month.
But coming up, after a sinkhole opened under the track at Calderbrook, rail commuters have been stuck at services between Edinburgh, Waverley and Helensburgh are halted.
Now going on to our national and international headlines with our correspondent, Ben Mitchell.
Rishi Sunak has promised to increase defence spending to 2.5% of national income by 2030.
So today I'm announcing the biggest strengthening of our national defence for a generation. We will increase defence spending to a new baseline of 2.5% of GDP by 2030. That starts today.
Following pressure from Conservative MPs and ministers, the Prime Minister said this would see £75 billion more for the military over the next 6 years. He has also promised to spend 2.3% of the country's national income on defence this year. Donald Trump has targeted Joe Biden over pro-Palestinian protests while speaking outside court.
What's going on is a disgrace to our country, and it's all Biden's fault, and everybody knows it. He's got no message, He's got no compassion. He doesn't know what he's doing. He can't put two sentences together, frankly. He is the worst president in the history of our country.
Trump is appearing in court today after being accused of paying hush money to Stormy Daniels to cover up an alleged affair between the pair. He is the first former US president to be put on criminal trial. 10 people have died in Malaysia after two Navy helicopters collided together mid-flight. Malaysian officials said that the crash occurred during a training rehearsal for its 90th Naval Day celebrations. There is currently no known survivors and an investigation is said to be carried out on the incident.
Thank you, Ben. Edinburgh train services to be hit by railway closure caused by the discovery of a sinkhole under the tracks at Caldercook Station. This has affected lines between Edinburgh Waverley and Helensburgh Central, with rail replacement buses running instead. Ferda Shahzad has more.
The sinkhole was discovered by track engineers on Sunday 21st of April, and the line has been closed since to allow investigation work to be undertaken. As of today, the train station has announced it will be closed indefinitely and that rail replacement buses will be used as a substitute transport towards Edinburgh Waverley Station. The Network Rail and its contractors are currently working to establish the sinkhole's size and depth. The presence of an underground spring is being looked into as a potential cause. Once the investigation has been completed, the railway and contractors will plan how they are able to repair the tracks and can estimate when the train station will be running again. As of now, locals are heavily affected by this sudden closure, as it is way more time-consuming and difficult to get to their destinations. We had spoken to a local who was affected by this sudden closure.
The sinkhole is supposed to be finished by Sunday.
Yeah.
This Sunday, 28th. But it's impacted me because I've had to come in for an interview, so I've had to get my mum to drop me off at Bathgate because I don't drive just yet. And then I've had to get from Bathgate here, and now I have to get a train to Bathgate instead of Caldercook. So I just walk from Caldercook to my house because there's a station right there in Caldercook.
The rail replacement buses are in place as the trains will terminate in Airdrie. Those wishing to travel to Edinburgh will need to get a replacement bus to Bathgate Station and then another train into Edinburgh until further notice. Sinkholes are an uncommon occurrence in Scotland that happens due to the lowering of groundwater levels. We had spoken to Heather Brown, who is a PhD in environmental studies at the National Galleries of Scotland.
So you get sinkholes in the UK in regions called karst regions, which is like karst terrain, which is when the top layer of topsoil that forms the ground that we walk on is made up of something different than what the rocks underneath are. And basically, because of climate change, we have rising groundwater levels in the UK. That's why we're getting more floods. It's due to more rainfall and stuff like that. And groundwater can dissolve rocks and erode away at rocks, and a sinkhole will form when like the layer of rocks underneath where the hole is becomes so dissolved that the top level can't stand anymore, can't hold it, and then it sinks.
And now over to our sports correspondent, Finbar Plass.
Club centurion Magnus Bradbury will be returning to Edinburgh Rugby next season after a stint with Premiership rugby side Bristol Bears. The back row has been in great form for the Bears, scoring 14 tries and accumulating 42 appearances. Bradbury spoke on his move back to his boyhood side, saying, "Edinburgh is home for me, so I'm really excited to return this summer." Edinburgh Rugby head coach Sean Everett described Bradbury as a quality player in his absolute prime. Hibernian have announced ticket prices for their last two home games of the season following their bottom six finish in the Scottish Premiership. Hibs' final two home games see them face Aberdeen and Motherwell at Easter Road, with single match tickets costing £32 and £24, respectively. Many Hibs fans are frustrated with the ticket prices as they feel they are being charged big prices for games that don't matter, with Hibs effectively safe from relegation and nothing to play for except a 7th place finish. After speaking to Hibs fans outside Easter Road, they had the following to say about the ticket prices.
"I think the prices are pretty bad because they're not really what I was expecting considering where we are in the table and our recent performances on the pitch.
I don't think I'll be attending either of the games, to be fair. It's just too much to pay considering like the games are, there's like nothing to play for in the game. Fans and the club just have different visions of where we should be going, and half of the fans you speak to will want either the CEO or the manager to be sacked."
And finally, Hibernian were confined to a bottom six finish following a poor end to the season, which saw them lose the final top split six spot to Dundee. Hibernian's first post-split fixture takes place this weekend as they travel to Perth to face St Johnstone on Saturday at 3 p.m.
And finally, it is no secret that Edinburgh is a deeply traditional and cultural city that celebrates any sort of event every chance that they get. pulling together their efforts to make an unforgettable night like the Royal Edinburgh Military Tattoo, where we celebrate military performances, lights and amazing fireworks. So today is a huge day for our famous festival, as a new artistic director for the Royal Edinburgh Military Tattoo has been announced for 2025's event. Casey McPherson discusses further.
Alan Lane has been announced as the Royal Edinburgh Military Tattoo's newest artistic director. Announced today, Mr. Lane takes over following the last director, Michael Braithwaite. Mr. Braithwaite's last show as part of the Royal Edinburgh Military Tattoo will be titled Journeys this year. During his time with the event, he has reached over 300 million television viewers with his post-pandemic shows. Mr. Lane is renowned for his past experience as a creative director in theatre and of Slunglow, an award-winning theatre company, in which he has directed all over the world, including in the National Theatre of Croatia and Buckingham Palace. During 2016, Lane directed the commemoration of the centenary of the Battle of Somme, and in 2018 opened a new cultural community college in Leeds, offering a range of classes based on his experiences worldwide. Lane also has a military heritage, as his father was in the Royal Air Force, and Lane is a troop commander with a 106 Field Squadron, stacking his qualifications to direct such a culturally significant show as the Royal Edinburgh Military Tattoo. In a quote released by Lane, he said, "It's the perfect opportunity to combine my military experience as an army reservist and my career as a performance director to continue to create the world's greatest immersive event on the castle and beyond. I can't wait to get it going." I took to the streets to interview Edinburgh's locals about their expectations of the show.
It's like such a big thing for Edinburgh, the tattoo. So it's always been such an event, draws in so many visitors, so to take on that role must be quite a lot to get your head around. Wouldn't have been put in the job if he wasn't capable of doing it, so fingers crossed for them. I hope they do a good job.
It's big shoes to fill, and it's a world-renowned event, so there'll be a lot of expectations on this person to deliver their role as effectively as possible. They've got a blank slate to work with, so there's already the existing reputation of the Edinburgh the Tattoo, and also the worldwide musicians and dancers that it attracts, so I hope that the reputation of the Tattoo also does them some favours, makes their job a bit easier.
Due to start the role in 2025, he will direct the 75th anniversary, as he plans to shadow Mr. Braithwaite's this year in his third show.
And to round up today's headlines, the United Nations, among many others, have criticised Rishi Sunak and his government following a Westminster showdown that saw the controversial Rwanda immigration bill is set to be forced through by the Conservatives.
And the victim bill proposed by the Scottish Parliament in Holyrood could end the not proven verdict following a recent criticism of the verdict in recent memory. The government are set to announce a verdict later this evening.
This is Radio Energy. Travel.
All is quiet so far on the traffic front this afternoon. Temporary lights will remain for the time being between Portobello Road and Wakefield Avenue. Updates are likely later on. There has been an incident on Greenside Lane both ways on the A900 at Baxter's Place to Marshall's Court. The road is permanently closed until further notice. And finally, as usual, queues are mounting on the Edinburgh City Bypass, particularly westbound near Sheriff Hall. Few minutes of delays are expected. And now on to Connor for the weather.
A warm and dry spell will hang over Edinburgh today with widespread sunshine from the mid-morning. Temperatures will be best along the western belt with northerly breezes spotting the afternoon with a maximum temperature of 15 degrees. The night will remain dry with clear spells and cloud along the coast with the odd shower with a minimum temperature of 0 degrees.
This is Radio Energy News.
And so that brings us to the end of today's show.
We hope that you've all been left a little more informed on Scotland and the world than before you tuned in.
Thanks for all for joining today, and from all of us at Radio Energy News,
we hope you have a lovely day, and we hope you enjoy your evening.
This is Radio Energy News.